If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Our reality as South Africans too, right? Regardless of the sector or the sphere that you might be in, mental health is a critical aspect to how we show up in the world, and more so how we show up at work. We're going to take a conversation now to fully interrogate not only our mental health and well-being in South Africa, but how that plays an influence into the workplace. We're joined now by Lindiwe Sibesho, Managing Director at REM Channel, to help us unpack SADC's latest data that reveals that 61% of employed South Africans would quit if they could afford to. That's according to a survey by the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. Sis Lindiwe, welcome to the show, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Gugu. It sounds like there is a lot of welcoming you back that's happening.
It's amazing. I've been away for 10 weeks, so it's a huge chunk of the year. But I must say, I'm excited to be back, Sis Lindiwe. So really appreciate the well wishes. Thank you.
Awesome. Hope your mental health has taken time out.
Yeah.
And you are now fully prepared and fully productive.
100%. I'm actually so grateful you mentioned that, because I was actually commenting to a friend of mine that this 10 weeks and participating in something completely different, in a different market, in a different environment, was refreshing, because it allowed me to, you know, plug out in terms of the day-to-day deadlines of work and life, but still have some perspective around what's going on in the world. And not everyone is afforded that opportunity of a sabbatical or a break or even enough leave. But I think it really does speak to the importance of, you know, knowing when to plug in and plug out, switch on and switch off, right? And maybe let's contextualize it. When we look at the workspace in South Africa and the reality of our mental health, how do we fare? How healthy are our minds?
Yeah, Gugu, if you look at the SADC study that you referenced, it doesn't look like we are in a great space, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that 61% of people say that they would quit if they could afford to makes it sound like we're only really working for the money. If we were working for other things, we probably would choose to do different things. We'd probably be in a position where, like you, we could take time out to really, deal differently with the high financial pressures and social pressures that I think a lot of workers are having to, in South Africa in particular, mm-hmm. deal with. There's a whole lot of things that are influencing that.
And this is important, because it does help us understand that, I guess, employment and financial success or financial stability are key aspects that influence our mental well-being. Are there others? And maybe can we underscore how these two aspects play such a critical role in our mental health?
Yeah, particularly financial health, especially us that are in the financial services industry and look at employment, employee or workforce stats, and how productive people are, we find that in most cases, financial stress and the high cost of living that cause that are actually quite a big contributor to the level of stress and, you know, mental unhealthiness that a lot of workers may find themselves in. Mm-hmm. What are the factors that are driving, for instance, turnover in South Africa? Because, you know, although 61% of people doesn't necessarily mean that those people are leaving their jobs, there are still quite a number of people that are leaving their jobs as a result of financial pressures and financial stress. I think in South Africa, for instance, we still have a very constrained economic environment. We still have high unemployment rates, which put obviously a lot of pressure on those that are employed to support their extended families. We still have skills shortages. And that also means that we've got a dual labor market, where a lot of the people that are highly skilled are in demand. And if those are the people that are employed, they are therefore always looking for opportunities that can help them make more money, that can help them with better career prospects. And I've known that when people say better career prospects, there's money included there, because obviously they're looking at it from a opportunity to advance and more, as well as people that are looking for better work-life balance, because the pressure of obviously the high unemployment rate means that those that are employed are carrying a lot of pressure from a workload perspective. We also see in Google competitive pay pressures. And as REM Channel, we do a salary and wage movement survey twice a year. What we are seeing is the salary increases on average that are being given are slightly higher than CPI. And CPI is an interesting reference for quite a lot of companies when they think about salary increases. What that means for us is that there's competitive pressures with employers seeing that people are leaving for better pay. They are therefore increasing salaries at a higher rate, which helps somehow with the financial pressures, but doesn't necessarily alleviate the pressures that people are experiencing.
God. Is there a difference between our mental health, the financial intricacies and interlink versus quiet quitting, which is also a theme we heard of post the pandemic?
I think quiet quitting is probably people that are not necessarily leaving, but they are staying and disengaged and not necessarily at their productive best because they are dealing with quite a lot of things, including the mental health issues. I'm not necessarily an expert on mental health, and I don't want to go too much into that. But I think from the studies that we are seeing, especially the financial pressures that people are experiencing, that is partly responsible for quite a lot of the unproductive workforce, trends that we definitely picking up. And I think one of the things that it has resulted in is people also asking for a lot more flexibility. I think we've seen and we've spoken about flexible work arrangements and all sorts of things that can help from a work-life integration or a work-life balance perspective. But what we're also seeing on our side is a bit more emphasis on flexibility with regards to pay and benefit.
Got you. How does this then shift the dynamic of how HR or human capital professionals, leaders of organizations who manage teams, how do we need to manage this in identifying the level of support that the workforce does need?
I think as a line leader or as a leader in an organization working with a team of people, you really have to know your people. I think people do present signs that something might not necessarily be right, and they can only talk about that if the environment that they are in is enabling and if the environment that they are in allows them to take time out or to discuss what their issues may be. I think as HR practitioners and leaders, it's very important to create an environment where people can speak up, where people can get support. So what we've seen also in terms of value propositions evolving is that there's now quite a lot of focus on mental health support. There's a lot of focus in the medical schemes that organizations provide for therapy sessions, for support that can enable people to proactively address the issues that could be disengaging to them.
And maybe we can talk about, when we talk about disengagement, help us describe what it looks like. You know, is it not being on time for a meeting? Is it not meeting deadlines? Is it, I guess, even a grumpy mood in the workplace and being difficult to work with? And I ask this because sometimes they're just personalities who are out of sync or unhappy in the environment that they're in. And as you've mentioned, there are employees sometimes who are deeply challenged and might need assistance with adequate support for the mental health challenges that they have. So how do we differentiate or do we need to evaluate this in the workspace?
Yeah, Coco. At the end of the day, what an employer and employee relationship is about productivity. It's about making sure that when we are at work, we do our utmost to achieve the objectives of our jobs and ultimately they contribute to the teams that we are part of and ultimately to the success of the organization. So that's the ultimate thing. We want people to be driven towards results. And if you pick up that there is an underperformance in one way or the other, that could be an indicator that there's an underlying reason that could be leading to that underperformance. So the textbook definition of engagement is when somebody is emotionally and rationally committed to doing the work that they're supposed to do. Okay. However, then the behavioral manifestation of that could be any of the things that you've just described. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, if you're a leader, making sure that your team is productive and produces results, you should be able to pick up in the output of the work that a person does, that there might be something that is not necessarily right. Obviously, there are many reasons that could lead to underperformance. It could be training, it could be fit for the job, it could be any other aspect. But we do encourage people to really pay attention to what could be happening with a person as far as their mental health. That could obviously then manifest in undesired behaviors and not the ideal level of contribution in terms of their work, the team and the organization that they work for.
If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Lindiwe Sibesho, Managing Director of REM Channel, or at REM Channel. And we are discussing the concept of post-pandemic pressures that really do see many South Africans, highlighting that according to research by SADC, 61% of South Africans say they want to quit. If we had enough money, I'd want to quit. We'd like to find out from you if you're one of these South Africans. Share your voice notes and your calls on your voice notes firstly on 063-688-0959. Happy to take your calls and your questions on 086-000-959. Towards the end of the year, perhaps you're struggling with year-end fatigue, or is there a deeper issue in terms of your mental health, the concerns you have about financial stress? Would you leave for a better job? And would you just quit because you need more money to meet the economic and financial needs of your life? We're keen to hear your thoughts and really get a grasp of the reality that we are facing as South Africans here. Cicely Ndiwa, I'd also like to build up on a very important point. I appreciate that you've given us a refresher as to how to evaluate, you know, a bad team player from someone who actually is just really struggling in terms of mental fatigue, distress, and even depression. And I guess this also becomes heightened, especially in a world where remote work still takes place. How is it that we, I guess, are seeing businesses or companies manage this? And what are the risks and concerns around not adequately identifying employees, team members and staff who might struggle with their mental health because of constant remote working?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that our studies have uncovered, Gugu, is that 83% of companies post the pandemic have implemented hybrid work environments, which means that they would have mandated in-office days and then they would also allow for people to work remotely. I think that helps in one way or the other because on those in-office days, people are able to collaborate. They're able to interact with each other physically. They're able to identify all these potential, signs that things might not necessarily be right. But we also see that especially younger employees that are just starting out in the workforce, that the collaboration in person is very important for them. But at the same time, we are seeing people that have actually enjoyed the flexibility that came with the pandemic in terms of remote work. They struggle with forced mandates to either return to work or these mandates that require them to be in office, especially where they have to commute, because that also just puts a lot of stress. I mean, if you live in Johannesburg, for instance, you will know that driving to where most of these companies are, if you're an office worker, is quite hectic. So for those employees, they are really struggling. And that level of stress, and I always say companies must be very careful not to ask people to commute just to compute. In other words, you're going to commute just to sit in front of your laptop. And this is where we say it's very important to manage the work relative to what the customer needs, of course, because not everybody can work remotely. It's very important to arrange work around your clients, your environment, and the sector that you work in. But where it's possible, you really need to trust your employees and ask them to deliver the outputs in the best way possible, whilst also creating an environment that helps them collaborate so that they can still have that human interaction and collaboration that usually is very useful, especially in dealing with the loneliness and so on that comes with remote work.
100%. Don't commute just to compute. I think that's a quotable. Absolutely. That we'll definitely hold on to. Cicely Ndiwe, an important aspect, we just received a WhatsApp here from one of our listeners, Gable, who says, welcome back, Sis Gugu. I'm part of the 51% regarding the fact that I constantly think about quitting. No reason has been given by Gibu, but I think what you've described are some of the reasons and themes that we need to consider. It's the commuting, it's the hybrid work environment, it's the financial stress really that also is top of mind for many South Africans. And I'm keen to understand then, for someone who perhaps might be listening to this conversation and is intrigued and is questioning, whether and perhaps needs to ask deeper questions around their reasons behind wanting to quit. How do they need to evaluate this? And I ask this deliberately because we're in the middle of November. It's been a long year. Some South Africans are struggling with just year-end fatigue and perhaps are already feeling that strain. So how does one, especially as an employee themselves or even an entrepreneur, need to evaluate their sense of mental health and well-being, whether this is quiet quitting, whether this is depression and anxiety, or whether they're just tired because it's been a very long year with minimal leave?
I suppose, Gugu, it starts with being honest with yourself. I always say that no one is there to rescue you better than to you, rescuing yourself. I mean, you know yourself better than anybody. Mm-hmm. So be honest with yourself. Sometimes, as you've just said, it is just year-end fatigue. It is you needing to use your leave days because a lot of companies do provide time out, time off, paid time off for that matter. But sometimes people don't take that time to really just go do something different. So it's important to reflect and think exactly what it is that might be driving you to feeling that way. Mm-hmm. It's also important to talk to someone. And that's why a lot of organizations that are now providing, mental health support and or therapy sessions, require you as an employee to also step up and take up those opportunities so that you can best unpack what it is that could be making you feel the way that you do feel. A lot of the financial pressures also require that we just be honest and speak to somebody that can assist with things that we might be facing from a financial, stress perspective. They say that it's important to face your challenges. Don't run away from them. Rather deal with them. And money is a very difficult, thing to talk about in most instances.
Yeah.
And people sometimes keep quiet and not talk until it is very, very late. And sometimes they assume that by quitting or resigning, as we have seen with the two-pot system, there would be, yes, funds that can assist them deal with short-term pressures, short-term debt. But they also need to take responsibility and think about the long-term. So whilst resigning may give you access to maybe funds that may have been, preserved for retirement, and the two-pot system is actually a good one because it does allow people to take money now out of their savings pots. It's very important that you are, again, responsible in terms of how you utilize those funds. So I think in all honesty, Gugu, it is up to each individual, and we are all adults, to be as honest as they need to be in as far as what is it that they are dealing with and how to best face that challenge, deal with it, instead of making, short-term decisions that might have long-term financial implications or long-term, employment implications in an environment where there is definitely still a high unemployment rate.
100%. And it's so refreshing that, as you say, a lot of support needs to be provided. And I'm assuming as an employee, I just can't go back to my employer and say to my manager, hey, I need an increase of above inflation. Or is there a way to have that conversation that, can be managed and where needs can be met?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the things from a REM channel perspective that we really encourage. People need to understand how their pay works. They need to understand to what extent they are being paid fairly, equitably, and obviously responsibly in as far as the employer is concerned. So those conversations should be had. There is nothing wrong with an employee asking politely, because I think when you ask about pay, you shouldn't be fighting. You should be able to justify what it is that you do and provide as contribution to the employer, but also ask the employer or your manager to share, pay ranges and aspects that can help you ascertain whether you are being paid fairly. If you are not, or you are, in most cases, people are actually paid appropriately. However, they don't know how to, navigate to higher pay. Then have a conversation around career development, career advancement, what it would take for you to earn more, what are the kind of contributions that you could make. Companies also provide incentive pay, which are discretionary payments, Google, that are linked to performance. So it's also up to us to make sure that as employees, we really put in the discretionary effort that's required for us to participate where there are those schemes in those variable pay schemes, be it short-term or long-term incentive schemes. So all those conversations, I always encourage people to really, really research, understand their pay slip, understand the pay structures, understand the grading systems that their organizations use, understand the career development opportunities that they could potentially be, able to optimize in order to advance their careers. The three top reasons, Google, for resignation are usually, as I said earlier, better paying job, career advancement, and obviously the integrated or work-life balance that everyone wants in terms of the flexibility of how and when they work to produce the outputs that they expected to produce. 100%. So if those are the three, try and understand how it is that you as an employee can optimize on that by getting the best information that you can and then taking that to your line manager to discuss.
100%. And I'm glad that you highlighted that again, because we do have a few voice notes and questions that have come through from our listeners. Sislindiwe, it seems as though we've really hit close to home here for many South Africans around the reality of the employment. And allow me to read out this tweet. It's from Don Cirillo at Tami, Tam underscore E. He says, "Kunzima, Siskugs. A lot of employees want to quit, but the problem is always, what's next? Not enough savings, and those who do venture into business, and that's not 100% guaranteed. Everything expensive, literally, Nje." So I think, again, you know, painting some context and direction as to, you know, the frustration around the what next. So maybe let's respond to that by just getting some context as to how to plan for the what next and where coaching or guidance and leadership might be able to assist with some of these themes.
I always encourage us, especially as Africans, to embrace financial planning, embrace financial guidance, embrace those services that have to do with making sure that we are clear about our current financial status, as well as our immediate, future and long-term future financial planning needs. So I like this tweet because the listener has already painted this, myth that, we assume that you can go out and start a business. Not everybody is an entrepreneur, Google. Mm-hmm. I think that is also in the long, history of us working, a perception that you can just go and start a business or a spaza shop without actually realizing that too has its own challenges. I've always, for instance, said that I'm good as an employee. I am very happy to get the salary at the end of the month, because entrepreneurship is not as easy as it also always looks. It is just as hard and might actually be even more challenging unless you are obviously the kind of person that can be disciplined enough to run your own business, but at the same time, disciplined enough to manage the finances, because there you are going to be everything to yourself, which then means you also have to have the right multi capabilities that are probably, more important for entrepreneurship success than it may be for just doing a job as part of the value chain in an organization.
Definitely. You might recall that I commented on a WhatsApp that we received a few minutes ago from Gable, who was essentially confirming that they too are part of the 51% constantly thinking about quitting, because of the frustration around their financial well-being. Here's a voice note from Gable explaining why they actually feel like quitting. Let's listen to this.
Hi, Siskugu, welcome back. Yo, that research done by SADC, I should say I am part of the 51%. I constantly think about quitting, and I can't say for me it's more the emotional and mental wellness as a result of my reporting. Like, you know, when you're doing all your best and you're showing that you are capable, but someone will always go out of their way to prove that you're not deserving of a promotion or an increase. And I think maybe it might also be the post-pandemic effects, because there's lots of pressure and a whole lot of things that are happening. So yeah, definitely for me, I'm part of the 51%, but I should say that through therapy and counseling, it really helps a lot. I have more better days than sad ones, but yeah.
Got you. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that voice note. Really appreciate you being honest and open with us about the reality of actually wanting to quit. And perhaps as we conclude our conversation tonight, Sislindiwe, this really paints an intriguing reality about the livelihoods of all of us as South Africans, right? A good 61% on the back of the research by SADC, highlighting that we do want to quit for these various reasons. I don't want us just to harbor on the negatives. So this is the reality, but we really need to understand, so what now? So for the employee who's feeling disheartened, for the entrepreneur who's frustrated and does want to quit, for the HR manager who doesn't know what to do with the team dynamics and people wanting to quit, help us understand what we can do and what options might be available to us.
I think for the HR manager and the employer, for that matter, it's important for them to really try and understand where their people are at. What we are seeing quite a lot of employers that are responding and supporting their employees is they're balancing their EVP, which is the employee value proposition, across three areas of focus, which is the financial, the physical, as well as the emotional. From a financial perspective, employers must really be fair and responsible in as far as how they pay people. And this is both in terms of the cash salary as well as the benefits that come with the package. For employees, in as far as that's concerned, I always say, please just go in and pack your pay slip and make sure that you understand not just the cash element or the take-home pay that gets into your bank account, but also the way that your benefits are structured. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of work in as far as this space is concerned, where we've helped employers try and flex out the pay and benefits that they offer to their employees in such a way that it helps employees meet both their short-term as well as their financial. On the benefit side, particularly Google, there are a whole lot of things that people can do differently. For instance, in terms of retirement fund contributions, which are obviously key for purposes of making sure that people have long-term financial security. But not everybody needs the same level of contribution. There are people that are still young. If they have enough time to save for retirement, they could actually look at structuring those benefits quite differently. So we are no longer in a one-size-fits-all environment. So for those employers that really want to help their people halfway, understanding that they also don't have the financial means to always increase salaries, like you said earlier, we are encouraging them to really unpack the package and see how best they can structure that in alignment with the needs of their employees, obviously in a responsible manner, so that people don't end up not having retirement savings, but using their money today or meeting today's needs.
Yeah.
On the physical wellness side, Google, there are so many things that can be done. I think our health physically is very important. We shouldn't wait for us to be ill. We should be proactive. We should exercise. We should make sure that these mental health challenges are also managed through the way that we live, through the way that we eat. So there's a whole lot of things that people can do to educate themselves around how to stay physically fit. But at the same time, employers can do quite a lot in terms of supporting employees with their physical wellness so that people aren't reliant on medical support or health insurance at the time that they are sick. And then we've spoken at length about the emotional aspects.
Yes.
I think the flexibility in terms of how people work is quite key, because it should enable people to structure their work in a manner that best meets their life needs as well, but at the same time be held accountable for the results and the productivity that they should deliver at work. Well-being support is very important.
Yep.
Benefits like fully paid maternity leave, those things worry young mothers. They worry young fathers.
Yep.
So organizations, from an emotional support perspective, should ensure that when they have a young workforce, they are able to at least provide the assurance of, let's say, fully paid maternity leave, which is not necessarily legislated.
That's true. We do have to leave it there, but really appreciate the insight you've shared, only because we're under pressure to go to ads on the show. But all that you've said has certainly fallen on the ears of the right people. Many of our listeners sharing their feedback on social media platforms and on WhatsApp, resonating with much of what you've actually shared. So thank you. Thank you so much for making this so relevant. Thank you for bringing it closer to home. And thank you for allowing us the opportunity to actually self-reflect and introspect. You know, are we struggling with our mental health? Is it based on our finances? And how do we actually ensure that we're able to overcome these challenges all around? Thank you again so much, Lindiwe, for your time.
Awesome. Thank you, Gugu, and welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks so much. That's Lindiwe Sibesho, Managing Director at REM Channel. Just to build up on that theme that Lindiwe has mentioned, there is a WhatsApp that's come through from Lone Wolf. Thank you for the welcome back message, by the way, Lone Wolf. He says, you know, if I could quit my job, the firm I'm working for and the environment is so unfriendly and the management is terrible. You know, like regarding this two-pot system, the management was not pleased about employees asking about it. They're withholding information. The manager just got upset with employees who wanted to withdraw from their savings pot, and it's a lot. But when it comes to strictness, they are very strict and oppressive.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.